I remember Declan Kidney shouting in messages saying, Wally used to go number 8, I'm bus 7 and Dunica 6. I just kind of stayed at number 8 and ignored him.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
The GAA Club Championship Preview
on OTB Sports.
In partnership with AIB. Proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships.
Well, it should be an absolute cracker at Croke Park this coming Saturday. The AIB GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Club Final sees Ballyhale Shamrocks of Kilkenny face off against Ballygunner of Waterford. It is live on TG Cahir. Tickets available now on gaa.ie/tickets. This year's AIB Club Championship celebrates hashtag the toughest players in Gaelic games, those who, despite adversity, don't quit and who persevere no matter how tough it gets, because tough can't quit. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Ballyhale Shamrocks' Colin Fenley. How are you keeping, Colin?
Yeah, I can barely hear you there now.
Can you hear us there now?
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
Ah, good stuff, good stuff. So we're what? Less than 48 hours away. This time, 48 hours, someone will be up the steps of the Hogan stand lifting the trophy, and generally it tends to be somebody from Ballyhale Shamrocks going for a ninth All-Ireland Senior Crown. Have won every final since that first one back in 1979. No pressure, eh?
No pressure at all. It's certainly something to look forward to, and just the experience, I suppose, over the last few years, you know, you get the taste for it, you want more, so you do.
Yeah, the confidence levels must be incredibly high. We've spoken to quite a few Ballyhale players over the last few months. We had your goalkeeper Dean Mason on, who's never lost a game of senior club hurling with Ballyhale. That's the sort of momentum every sports team wants to get into.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It was kind of said there a few times, all right, that there's three or four guys there that came on that year that we started that run, I suppose. And, you know, they're having an amazing time of it. But unfortunately, you know, it'll always come to an end at some stage, and it'll probably come as a fair shock to them when it does.
There's a lot of differences between club and county. One of them is, I dare say, if it was an All-Ireland county final that Kilkenny were in, Brian Cody wouldn't have you sitting here 48 hours before throw-in doing media interviews. It's a far more relaxed environment. I know you've stepped away from the inter-county side of it. Is that part of the love of this, that actually, you know what, 2 days before the game, you can sort of still go about your life?
It is. It's a lot more relaxed, so it is. You know, just doing small things like this, and then probably the ease of it as well, just being able to do it online as well, is probably another plus. But yeah, no, look, the pressure I spoke about previously is just the pressure, you know, it's not like the county put it on you. It just comes naturally when you're in there, no matter what happens. So just playing with the club, it's just automatically more enjoyable, so it is.
So compare the two then, the week of a final, a week of a final with Kilkenny. What would you have been like to be around?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while since we suppose. Well, 2019 we're in.
It's not that long.
It didn't end so well for us. The nerves coming up to an All-Ireland final with Kilkenny, it's just massive. It's more because the whole county are talking about it. Well, the whole country, I suppose, is talking about it, where I suppose the club probably wouldn't get as much vibe from everyone, so you wouldn't. So it's a lot quieter going around, so it is, and it's certainly a lot nicer, so it is. You know, every place you go, they won't be talking about it, although at the moment it does feel like it, every phone call you're on. But I think that was more because of the semi-final, and just, I suppose, what happened in the last few minutes. Everybody was more talking about that, I think, more than anything.
Would you have felt a pressure to almost act a certain way the week of an All-Ireland final, not to be spotted out having a coffee with the lads, that the eyes of the county are on you, and you almost felt that? Did you have to almost lock yourself away for the week?
You would. You'd always keep your head down, so you would. You wouldn't mind people thinking that that lad has no interest in playing an All-Ireland final at the weekend, but like, it just wouldn't be the case. Like, you just kind of want to get on and just do what you normally do. Coming up to a match and look for a club final, that's certainly the case. Like, you know, you're just working during the week, you go to your training sessions and everything else, and you know, you meet the lads around tonight, and it's probably the last you'll see them now till Saturday morning. But just relax then tomorrow evening, and the nerves certainly will kick in tomorrow night, I suppose, when you realise it's just one more sleep, and you know, it's game on then from Saturday morning onwards.
What do you do when those nerves kick in t- tomorrow night? Do you have a process you go through? Do you switch on Netflix? What's the way of actually making sure that they don't become too much the night before a game? You do get a good night's sleep.
You do. You just go about your night as normal. So you do. The nerves are there, so they are. But I think it's kind of a thing where you accept the nerves, you know, because you just can't get rid of them. That's probably the thing, that you just literally have to accept them. You kind of invite them, so you do. The fact that you're getting nervous, it just shows that there's something big happening, there's something major. You're doing something right to be in this position, to be so nervous. And you know, it's incredible to think back. You know, where I suppose club war probably 2016, things weren't going too well, and here we are now a few years later, and you know, going for 3 in a row, and the club's after winning 4 county finals in a row. It's just. It's an amazing place to be, but you know, nothing comes easy, and certainly Ballygunner won't be easy on Saturday. That's one thing we can count on.
I remember asking Tommy Welch about his pre-All-Ireland final night routine, and he said himself and the brother would have a pot of tea and about 20 slices of toast, which I'm not sure is advisable, but it worked for him.
It works for them because they're used to it. Parik absolutely loves toast as well. It is absolutely madness. Because I know they lived with Joey holding there for a while as well. And Joey just couldn't get over. He nearly had to hide the Brendan's bread during the year because you know, if you had too much toast, Parik tends to put on a small bit, a few more pounds than what he should be putting on.
Yeah, like you say, you know, where you look where you were in 2016. 2015, Ballyhale were the All-Ireland champions. So again, we're talking about everything sort of in a different context with Ballyhale to every other club around the country because of the success you've had. But, like, you know, we've been down there recently, you know, met a lot of the Fennellys and the history of the place and how involved your family have been in it. You know, All-Ireland titles 81, 84, 90, you're growing up around that. You're growing up at a young age with an expectation that, you know, we're not like other clubs. We're not like other places. Did you think that when you were a kid growing up?
You wouldn't think about it. You know, if you ask the question of, like, where does it all come from? And I suppose it's those guys that set it up. It's those guys that won the first county final, the first All-Ireland. They probably just set a tradition of just pure honesty there. And, you know, that has just come right through all the teams. You know, and I can even see it with the likes of Adrian Mullen and Darren, Owen Cody, Darren Cork. Like, when them guys go out in the field, they're just out there to work. They're not looking to be the hero. They're not looking to be the main man. They're out there to work. And I suppose with you getting on older, that's exactly what we need. They aren't there for a handy hand pass. You know, the days of TJ winning every single ball and lads running off him to get a handy hand pass is gone. You know, these guys are stepping up, so they are. And that's probably the difference that we've probably had over the years, that guys just really step up to work for each other and just work as a team. And that has come right through from when Ballyhale started 50 years ago.
How different then, when you talk about being one of the more senior players on the team now, how different is it for you going into a dressing room where there are young lads like Dean Mason who are 20, 21, who've never lost a game? Do you feel a leadership role? Is that something you take time to think about? You're going around speaking to the younger players, sharing your experiences, or what's your role?
Yeah, I suppose we talk a lot to lads, so we would, and you know, let's say, even with Dean, like he lives actually just down the road from me, so he does. And you know, I go into games with him, so I do, and go to train with him, and again have the Mullins down the road, and he just talk about everything that has been done, you know. And they don't even know things that we would have done or plays or with Henry and that. And that's only a few years ago for me. But for them, you know, they were just kids in the stand looking on, so they were. And, you know, it's just amazing just the comparisons that you do between the teams and everything else. And, you know, the lads just gain confidence, I suppose, from us that, you know, it is doable. We can do it. And, you know, they have really kind of stepped up over the years. So they have.
You mentioned the excitement that was there after the semi-final and the manner of the semi-final win over St. Thomas's. I was talking to Tommy Welch about it on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said, like, that's Ballyhale. And he went through a string of matches over the last couple of years where you thought Ballyhale were dead, but they weren't, and that somebody always stepped up. And, well, quite often it's yourself or TJ, and you combined in that moment, because while TJ got the glory, of course it was you with a little bit of movement in front of the goalkeeper that really made it all happen. When TJ's standing over that, what's going through your head? Is there any doubt as to where it's going and where it's going to end up?
You know, you have a chance when TJ stands over it. You know, Tommy made a very good point that, like, you know, that we probably do try to keep ourselves in the game, and that probably last minute or few minutes that, like, you know, if you're within 3 points of a team, it's one score away from keeping yourself in it. And you know, the St. Ryan's game was a perfect example. And then the Thomas's game, you know, we're 2 points down. TJ stepping over a ball, like, he has done it plenty of times before. He was even against Bennisbridge during the year. He top spin the ball straight in top corner. He had probably out 35 yards in that match. And, you know, when he stood over Grand, so it's probably 9 out of 10 times it's not going to go in. But let's say it would maybe deflect onto the ground just about getting that flick in. But, you know, just when you go straight into the net, you're like, geez, it couldn't come any easier than that when you have a guy stepping over a ball like that.
So did you know in advance you were going to step in front of the keeper? Or?
No, I didn't. It varies in these games. Like, you know, about that Bennisbridge game, there must be another 5 bodies in front of me. But obviously, TJ was out that bit further, you know, where he was probably in closer. He was kind of close to 21, so you couldn't have so many stepping out in front of him. And I suppose Joey Cuddy was just actually there in front of me beforehand. He moved out around. I walked across. And then, look, I looked behind me. I said, look, I need to make myself as big as possible here. But I think I was getting a lot more credit for what I did than what I should. You know, as much as everything else, I was just a nuisance. And that's all I seemed to be in full forward. But, like, you know, the real magicians are guys like TJ there and Adrian and Noam Cody who are making these things happen. So they are.
Yeah, I think you can put yourself in that category as well. And listen, it's a moment, I think, no matter what happens on Saturday, and who knows what drama we get, the people will be talking for a long, long time to come. Like, that ability to stay in the game, not to panic, like, that is the hallmark of champions. Every sport you look at, you never feel they're beaten. And quite often it's actually that they don't change. They don't go into panic mode. Is that your sense in Ballyhale, that when you are... if you try and keep it within 3 points going into injury time, that actually you just keep playing the same game, that you just keep doing it, and that you hope that this time it'll actually work? Or is there almost a special teams sense when you enter the final 5 minutes of actually we try something a bit different?
Yeah, it's not that we'd ever talk about that, because that's the position you probably don't ever hope to be in. But certainly you always know you have a chance. We always kind of say, look, just stick to the base. Just keep tipping away, keep getting the ball over the bar, and wherever we are, we are. And that's normally not too far off. And I think that last water break, actually, we came in and we changed things up. I think Joey Holden actually came out centre-back. I actually went out centre-forward. And our target then was TJ inside. And, you know, as soon as they seen ball going in top of TJ, I think they actually kind of reverted back a little bit, and that opened things up, and we got a few scores on the board. But again, it just wasn't enough, because they ended up getting another 2 points, and they went 2 points ahead. But you know, I think we put ourselves in that position, put that pressure on in the last 10 minutes, and you know, it's small changes like that we're probably able to do, which is absolutely fantastic. And it probably put us in that position to be within a goal or a few points to win the match.
Yourself and TJ, very similar age-wise. So I presume you're probably playing together for what, 16, 17, 18 years, if not more at this stage?
I remember playing TJ since I was probably 5 or 6.
Wow, right.
I was probably a little bit more, yeah. Maybe 7 or 8, playing with TJ.
What was he like as a 7-year-old?
He was a lot chubbier. he was carrying the weight, but he always had the skills. So
yes, and see, having kicked in then.
Exactly. He's a different man now. You know, the fitness levels that TJ has now is just absolutely incredible. I think I remember even my last year on Kilkenny, I was thinking, I don't think I've ever seen TJ as fit, you know, which was amazing. Like, for a guy that's probably 34 now, going on 35, you know, it's incredible, his fitness. But no, when he was younger, he had all the skill in the world, and he was still well able to move. But you know, I probably always looked up to TJ. He was always there ahead of me and everything. And you know, he's a great guy to have your side.
Well, was there a sense at that age, because I am always fascinated about, like, you know, how you go from being the wonder kid, even like, and you probably had to deal with it yourself, Michael, when you go down to training in Ballyhale and it's one of the Fenleys, there's automatically an air of expectation. But you know, when you have a TJ Reid, even at that young an age where there's clearly a talent, like, it's such an achievement in itself to not lose the run of yourself at any stage, to keep going, to go play county, never mind go on and become one of the all time greats. Was there an expectation even at that very young age that this guy's a little bit different?
No, not in the slightest, because luckily enough in Ballyhale there was always someone better than you. And TJ had the likes of Michael and Cha and Henry all ahead of him. So the focus was on all those guys.
Right.
You know, like Henry was just incredible when we were growing up, and everybody just wants to be Henry. You know, and Henry had all the lads falling behind, and then the likes of Michael and Cha, you know, and then TJ behind him, myself and Joey then come in behind TJ, and looked at the run just keeps on going with Richie Reid. He went out to Adrian Owen, Cody, Derek Cork and Darren Mullins, just a list. And you know, it's just fantastic to have that. And again, as I said, it goes back to when the club started, that they just keep things moving on. So they do, and all those guys are still there running the club, really.
This time of the year, without having played County last season, does it make a big difference to you physically?
It does. There's a lot more hunger there, so there is. You know, like, as much as I think I found it a long year because with COVID, like, I was still playing with the club, but it was just so much more relaxed. You wouldn't be as tired. You know, you weren't travelling in and out Kilkenny the whole time or up and down from Dublin or anything like that. It was, you know, you just go down to your local field, hit around the ball, and it was a lot more relaxed. The games were a lot more relaxed. And certainly when it came to championship, I was full of energy, and you know, the hunger's there. Where you know, I can't imagine being the lads now heading straight back into County, but you know, they're well used to it, and certainly the younger lads will have the hunger to, yeah. I suppose, to
start winning. Is it that difference, the gap still? Because obviously, like, Ballyhale are the All Ireland champions, so you would think that there is a certain level that is almost at inter-county level in terms of your strength and conditioning, in terms of the level of fitness you need to be at, and the terms of commitment that you need to put in. But is it a world away from what you'd be doing with Kilkenny?
No, to be honest, I actually feel fitter now than what I was doing with Kilkenny. And that's nothing to do with, let's say, what Kilkenny are doing. It's just, I suppose, I have that bit more time to myself, you know, to just get myself there.
Sounds like you're mentally fitter.
Yeah, that might be it. You know, on the pitch, I just feel that little bit better, but I just have that bit more time, it seems, to go down to the gym. You know, there's just so much more with Kilkenny. There's so many more matches, I suppose. You're constantly on the go, like, between league, and then you go into the round robin with the championship, and you're straight into it. And then when you come back to Ballyhale, you're straight into championship again with Ballyhale. It's hard going. And certainly I had that break to get that fitness up to a certain level. And I was able to maintain it then. And as you said, just mentally then as well, I suppose.
How did the conversation go with Brian Cody when you said, I know initially you opted out, but then decided you were done?
Oh no, just he's happy as long as the players are happy. And you made that choice, you know, and he won't ever really seem to have an input on what you want to do. He lets you just make that decision, and whatever that decision is, you have to make for yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where that was. And when I was actually leaving for to take that year out, you know, that was quite a big decision. I was quite worried what would come of it, but when I actually seen Stephen O'Keefe doing it then as well, it actually made it a little bit lighter, and he was probably in the same boat as me. You know, and as soon as he stepped away, he kind of knew as well that he had enough, and he's done his time there, and he's enjoyed it, and it's time to move on to other things.
So Saturday, Ballygunner in the final. I think from a long way out, people were looking at Ballyhale and Ballygunner and this as a potential All-Ireland final. There's a lot of excitement about it. You're going for three in a row. What's your sense, and how much have you seen of Ballygunner?
I've seen quite a bit. I've probably seen more of Ballygunner than what I've seen of other teams, mainly because they've been knocking about the last probably 8 years between winning down Waterford and in the Munster Championship and All-Ireland Series. You know, they're an incredible team, and it's mad to think that they're around 8 years and they're actually improving, so they are. Certainly Desi Hutchinson coming back into the frame with him just really kind of sparked things for him, so they did. And you know, they're just going to be a massive challenge on Saturday. Looking forward to it, there's no doubt about it. You know, anytime you play in Croke Park, you look forward to it. Ballygunner then, they're just a different team. I think, you know, I spoke about their ability to retain the ball and everything else. It'll be a huge challenge. and they look, they're local neighbours as well. So, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll you'll be hoping it'll be fun afterwards as well with the local bragging rights. It promises to be a cracker. To say 3 o'clock Saturday, Croke Park. Tickets on sale now on gaa.ie/tickets. It's going to be live on TG Cahir as well, and we'll have full coverage here on Off the Ball. Colin Finley, very best of luck at the weekend.
Great, Andy. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All our club championship coverage here on Off the Ball, brought to you by AIB, proud sponsors of the football, hurling and camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. You can check out hashtag the toughest for more.
The GAA Club Championship Preview
on OTB Sports.
In partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the football, hurling and camogie All-Ireland Club Championships.